If you take your Bibles this morning, go to Joshua chapter 1. We're kind of starting our series, a bit of an introduction last time and how Joshua was called into being into leadership, that is. And this morning we move into chapter 1. We're going to work our way right through chapter 1 this morning. Really appreciate the worship this morning, Ron, and appreciate the worship team. Thank you so much for that. Well, obviously this passage is centered on the idea of being strong and courageous. As a matter of fact, four times in chapter 1, he mentions this term, strong and courageous. We don't have time this morning, but we could all actually back up to the book of Deuteronomy, and there we see it written again as Joshua is challenged to be strong and courageous. The term literally means to be strong and vigorous. That's what the term means. It refers not so much to the character of Joshua as to his actions. Now, certainly his character was important, but if he didn't move forward with his actions, then certainly there would have been a problem. He was really being called in this chapter to be a man of action, to be alert, to be prompt, to be ready to act at whenever the occasion demanded it. And so this is the challenge then, to be strong and courageous in what God is calling you to do. You may think, my life is a challenge, or God is calling me to work in this area, or whatever it might be. You say, I need to be strong and courageous. And I pray that this morning, this passage will help us to understand what it is to be just that. This is God's timetable. This is God's plan. He just needs to be willing to follow the Lord and to step out and be strong and courageous. Now, with that in mind, let's pick it up at chapter 1, verse 1. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is in it, written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you. And they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession, and you shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he has with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon this message this morning. We know, Father, that you are challenging not only Joshua, but in a sense, you're challenging us to be strong and courageous. That may be our marriage that we need to be strong and courageous in, to take that leadership. It may be dealing with our children. It may be, Father, in the sense of ministry. It may be a place at work. Whatever it would be, Father, whatever the challenge would be, I pray that we would rise to that, that we'd understand that we are to be men and women of action, that we are to step out, we are to follow after you, that we are to do what it is you're calling us to do. And I wonder, Lord, how many times you've wanted to do so much and unable to do it because we, in some way, shape, or form, could not be strong and courageous. Help us to trust in you, to follow you, to do great things for you, I pray, both as individuals and a church in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we look at this passage this morning, we're going to break it into three areas. The first one would be Joshua's commissioning, and that's verses 1 to 5. And then Joshua's challenge, that's verse 6 to 9. And then finally, we come down to Joshua's commanding, and that's verses 10 to 18. And so as we look at this, first of all, let's begin with Joshua's commissioning. Joshua's commissioning is done by the command of God. It's not that he desires so much to be in leader as God clearly makes it clear, as I could say, that he is in charge, that God calls him. It says, the Lord said to Joshua. It's absolutely clear to him that he's to do that. Now, we know that he spent time in the tabernacle with the Lord, and we assume that God, through that, somehow had spoken to him and told him that now Moses is dead, and you are to step up, you are to lead, you are to take this nation forwards. I have often found that the case is with God, that when I find that God calls specifically, God often calls to a very difficult task. I don't know if you've found that, but I have found that over the years, that it's usually a very difficult task that God calls me to. And I find that it's very hard. And matter of fact, most times when I find that call from God, I really find that not only is it difficult, but it probably is absolutely impossible apart from him. That if God doesn't show up, if God doesn't put his presence there, if God doesn't put his power there, if God's not part of the plan, then it's just not possible for it to take place. What's he calling him to do? First part he calls him to is cross over the Jordan. Now that seems so simple. And if you've been to Israel, the Jordan is actually quite a small river. And most people go there and are quite surprised by the fact of how small it is. But this is not just the normal time of year. This is flood season. And so it would have well overflowed its banks. This would have been a huge thing to move 1.5 million people across the Jordan River. It was going to take a miracle of God for it to happen, which we'll see in the future. More than that, he was to subdue the land, or better yet, the people of the land. And that was not easy. If you remember the report that had come back from earlier, there were giants in the land. It was an impossible task. It was hard to do. And certainly we know that this task that he is called to do is very difficult and could not possibly take place unless God was in it. And so we see then in Joshua's commissioning that Joshua can really rely on a number of things. First of all, he can rely on the fact that it's God's promise. You see, God had promised to Moses earlier. He had made it absolutely clear when he called him in the wilderness that you're going to lead my people out and you're going to lead them to a promised land and it's going to happen. And so we know then that as Joshua stands there, that he knows that God is about to fulfill that promise. He tells him here in verses 1 to 4, and we'll actually pick it up in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised Moses. And thus there's this promise then of God's covenant. God had given the covenant to Abraham. God had gone down through the generations. God had given the Mosaic covenant. And now it was about to be fulfilled through Joshua. And though the challenge is huge and the task seems impossible, he realized that he had the promise of God with him and that God was about to fulfill the covenant that he had made earlier to his people. Number two, God's power. Notice in verse 5, first part of this says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. No man, can you imagine that promise? That no matter where you go, Joshua, not just in this campaign, but in the future, Joshua, no matter what you do, if you rely upon me, if you lean upon me, if you're strong and courageous, Joshua, no person, no man, nobody is going to be able to stand against the power that you have. Now, we know from future part of the book that when he turns away from God, when he begins to run on his own power, as in Ai and the Gibeonites in the future, you find that in the book, that's when he begins to find that he is defeated. But when he relies upon God, when he puts God first, when he puts God at the center of everything that he's doing, the power of God is there, and he finds that there is victory. I think sometimes we run too often on our own power. We run too often on our own strength. If we can figure this out, if we can kind of come up with a plan, if we can do this. And God says to Joshua, don't you realize that I've promised to make you successful? More than that, my power is going to be there for you to be successful. All you need to do is rely upon me. Thirdly, we find in Joshua's commissioning God's presence. God's presence. And the second part of verse 5 says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Now, if I was to face the challenge that he was about to face, I would want to know that. I would want to know that God is with me. He's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. He's going to help me to get through that. You can imagine what comfort that must have been to Joshua as he steps up and he begins to take over. God is going to be with him. God is going to help him in that way. And when I think of this, I think of the fact that the key to success here is understanding that it's God's promise that he brings the victory. It's God's power that he's the one that enables Joshua or us to do whatever it is we do. And it's the presence of God that makes that come about. The fact that God's involved in it, God is there. And as I was thinking about this, I thought about the word Ichabod. You say, what is that word, Ichabod? Ichabod basically is the word that one of Eli's sons was named. And the reason Eli's son was named that was because Israel had lost the covenant, so the Ark of the Covenant. In losing that, she gives birth, Eli's wife, and all of a sudden, guess what? The child is born and she names it Ichabod. And what's the name mean? It means basically the presence or the glory of God has left. I wonder, are there churches that are in that situation where somehow they've moved away from the promise of God, the fact that God will build his church. They've moved away from the power of God. They're operating on their own strength, and they've come to the place where Ichabod is written above the door in that sense. And there is no presence of God. If Joshua was going to be successful, he needed the promise of God, that God was going to fulfill his promise. He needed the power of God. It could not be done on his own. No possible way. Even the holding back of the River Jordan and all of the enemies and all of those things that needed to happen. But most of all, he needed the presence of God, that God was right there with him, would not leave him, would not forsake him, would not leave him on his own. Not only Joshua's commissioning, but secondly, we talk about the fact that it's Joshua's challenge. He's about to be challenged here by God. He's about to be challenged as he goes into this situation. And what he's being challenged to do is be strong and courageous, to be a man of action, to step out, to do something, to not just sit by. And so as he's doing this, we find that he has a number of challenges that take place here. And I think the question that he's probably asking is, how can I be successful? God, you've called me to do this tremendous thing you've called me to do, this extremely difficult thing that you've called me to do. How can I be successful? I would suggest to you that that's a question all of us ought to ask. We ought to ask as we get out of bed in the morning, how can I be successful today, God? How can I be successful in my family? How can I be successful with my wife? How can I be successful at work? How can I be successful in my church and what I do there? How can I be successful? And he gives three ways in which that is the case. Keys to success for Joshua are really keys to success for us. How can I be successful in this impossible task that God has called me to? Number one, remember the purpose of the Lord. It's a lot like the promise of the Lord, but remember the purpose of the Lord. In verse 6, it tells us, be strong and courageous. And notice these are framed around that phrase. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Not you might, you could be. There's a good chance it might work out. You shall. And so he could depend on the fact that there was a purpose that God had established, that God was going to bring that about, that God had put that purpose in place, and God was going to fulfill that. And Joshua was probably thinking, I'm so glad this is not depending on me, but depending on God. You see, any success we have in life is not something that we have done. Every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. Every good gift comes down from him. And we need to realize that success is based upon our relationship with God, following after him. And this success is not so much dependent on Joshua as it was all dependent on that promise that had already been made by God. God made it clear he was going to fight the battles and bring the victories. You see, when they sought after, as I said, they sought after God, victory was assured. When they come up with their own plan, failure was assured. It's putting God first in our lives. Joshua's responsibility was simply to follow the Lord faithfully. I thought about church again. God's purpose is to build this church. God's purpose is to build his church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God made that absolutely clear. If Jesus is not building his church in this location, I suggest to you the problem is not with God. I suggest to you that all of a sudden, God didn't lose his plan or lose his purpose or the reason that things happen. God is still at that. Something has gone wrong, and I guarantee you it has not gone wrong with God. It has gone wrong with us. Has pride set in? Is selfishness, tradition, legalism? Any other word you want to stick in there? What is it that has become more important than following the purpose of God? God brings the victory. It's our responsibility to be faithful followers. One of my favorite groups is the Booth Brothers. And I like to listen to them a fair bit. And they do a version of In Christ Alone. And it's a wonderful version of it because it ends up at the end with these words. If there be any victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. The church is going to move forward and do great things for God. We need to understand that we need to follow after God's purpose, that God has a reason for why we're here. We're to walk faithfully. We're to watch what God can do. We need to follow God as he's called us. We're to glorify him in all that we do in making disciples. One of the reasons we put these banners up on the wall is because that's our purpose, is to glorify God. And we do that through worship, which we do on Sunday morning in the Life Center. We do it through Grow, which we do through our life groups. And we want everybody to move into a life group. We'll be starting those up again this fall. And then we do it in serve, in our life action, at the fact that we want people to be involved in ministry and in their lives, serving God on a daily basis. And so it's the idea of understanding God's purpose is to grow the church. Number two, he needed to remember the precepts of the Lord. The precepts of the Lord, again, framed with this idea of be strong and courageous. He says here, be strong and courageous, be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded to you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? He makes it very clear that he's to follow after the word of God. He's not to turn to the right. He's not to turn to the left. He's not to do his own thing. He's not to come up with his own plan. But Moses had clearly given them the first five books of the Old Testament, and he was to follow those because they were the keys to success. If I've learned anything over the years, I've learned this. You can't win if you don't play by the rules. You can't win if you don't play by the rules. There's no such thing as a win, even if you cheated to get there. You may think, well, I won, but if you cheated, you didn't win. It doesn't work that way. And you may think, well, I've come up with this plan. No, if you cheated to get there, there's no win. That's why it's so important that we follow after the Word of God, that we put the Word of God first, that we keep it at the center of what we do, because the Word of God is the key to success in our lives and in our church. That is why integrity is so important in leadership. We need to be integrity, people of integrity. Without integrity, there is no trust. You follow the logic in this. And without trust, there is no win. You have to have trust. And to get trust, you have to have integrity. That's why pastors and people need to be students and followers of God's word. It's our guide. It is our direction. It is our wisdom. I think it's funny sometimes we pray for wisdom and we're instructed to do so. But there's a lot of wisdom found right here. And how can somebody say, well, you know, I'm seeking after wisdom, but they don't spend any time in the word of God. God has given us wisdom through his word. You see, leadership is influence. And influence is only grown through trust. Now get this connection. Trust comes through integrity, integrity through following God's word. So let me put that in order for you. You have God's word. As I spend time in the word of God, it changes my life as a leader. As my life is changed as a leader, then I have integrity. If I have integrity, then there's a sense of trust and a sense of trust that comes there. And so they build together, they work together. And so it's spending time here. And what God is really saying to Joshua is, Joshua, you got to play by the rules. You got to play by the rules. You've got to follow after the five books that I've given you. You've got to spend time there. You've got to grow in that. You've got to have that integrity and that trust as a leader. You've got to do that in order to have success. It's not successful if I end up accomplishing all these things but do not bring glory to God. Following God's word is the key that's there. And so he's told to follow after the precepts of the Lord, to remember them. To be successful, he needed to remember God's purpose. He needed to remember God's precepts. And then number three, he needed to remember the presence of the Lord. Going back to that same theme again, that God's involved in it. In verse 9, it says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Notice that phrasing. Do not be frightened. Based on the fact that you're strong and courageous, do not be frightened and do be not dismayed. Don't be overwhelmed is what it means. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Is the task tough? Yes. But he says, I will be with you. And I think at that moment, he says it twice, but I think at that moment there was nothing more sweeter in the ears of Joshua than to hear the fact that God says, I will be right there. I think of the challenges that we face in life. Aren't you glad you have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Aren't you glad that someone says, I will not forsake you, I will not leave you, I am there? And I know you have tremendous challenges in your lives. I talked to you about some of those things, whether it's medical or financial or whatever it is, or decisions or dealing with family members, whatever it might, I know they're there. I promise you, there's a God who's there. There's a God who walks with you. There's a God who says, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. You are mine. You belong to me. He was to remember the purpose of God, the precepts of God, and the presence of God. And then number three, we finally get into the last part of this. Number three, and it talks about Joshua commanding. Now, the first two sections about getting Joshua ready to command. He was to be commissioned. He was to certainly be challenged. But now it talks about him actually leading, Joshua commanding. And I love the first part of verse 10 just says this, and Joshua commanded. Joshua commanded. You just begin to see that fulfilling of him doing what he's supposed to do. He was to command. He was to lead in that way and lead in the way that would honor the Lord. One of the first things he does is he commands them to prepare. You got to realize that they've been walking around in the wilderness for 40 years. I can't imagine. They probably didn't have very many weapons. They probably certainly didn't have the provisions to move into a different place. They certainly didn't have the things that they needed. But it says this in verse 11, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go and to take possession of the land that your Lord, your God, is giving you to possess. Get ready. And the command, his first command, is one of get ready. We're going to follow after the Lord. Get ready. We're going to go at this together. And he begins to lead and he begins to command and he begins to set up this leadership in order that he can be successful in what he does. He was commanding the people to prepare to get ready to go. The second thing he commands them about is to participate. Participate. You see, what's happening here is the 2.5 tribes of that have stayed on the other side of the Jordan. You say, what's going on? I thought they were to take the land. Well, there were 2.5 tribes that went to Moses and said, we want to stay over here. We kind of like it on this side of the Jordan. We're going to stay on this side. And God allowed that to happen. Moses allowed that to happen. But basically what happened is they said, okay, you can stay on this side. But when it comes time to cross over and to take the land, your soldiers, your warriors, your valor, men of valor have to go with us in order to conquer the land. And once that's conquered, then you can go back and you can possess the land that's given you. So basically, they were going to settle on the west side of Jordan, or the west bank is the way we would say it. And so the idea was they were to go. And you're thinking, okay, Moses is dead. I bet they're going to try to get out of this. They're going to pull away from this. Who wants to send over to take somebody else's land? We've already got this. We already own this. And so Joshua steps up in courage, and he says this, and he says in verse 13, remember the word that Moses, servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, or on the west side of the, the east side of the Jordan. That's what I meant to say, the east side of the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers, and you shall keep them. This could be a real challenge to his leadership. There could have been theirs that said, we're not going to do that. He's one guy. Why would we stand up 2.5 tribes? We don't have to do this. We're not going to follow after this. And really, when you think about it, they probably could have stood and withstood Israel in regards to this. And yet, we find that Moses had given this command, and now Joshua was to fulfill this command and to do this in that way. So his first command is, get ready, we're going to go. The second command is, you need to fulfill. And he pulls them back to the relationship and the promise that they had made with God. And the 2.5 tribes agree to go and do what they needed to do. And then finally, the third command is the command to obey. And it's more of a response than a command. But notice the response to Joshua's leadership, verses 16 to 18. And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us, we will do. And whatever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. What amazing words that is. We were following Moses for 40 years, but now it's obvious that God has put you in this place, and we will follow after you. Only, this is what they ask, only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. That's all we want to know, is that you are a godly man, that you follow after the word of God, that you understand the power of God, that you understand the presence of God. That's what we want to know. And if you will do that, Joshua, if you will represent us to God and represent God to us, if you will stand before us and be a godly man, then we will follow after you. Not only that, we'll make sure everybody else follows after you, because he goes on and says, whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. That's pretty convincing. I think they tells us that they kind of wanted to follow after him. They'll be put to death. But there's only one thing we want from you, and that is that you are a godly man. I suggest to you, and I suggest to our pastors and to our elders, that the best thing that we can do for this church is to be godly men. You say, well, what about leading music? Well, that's great. What about doing a devotion? That's great. What about leading in a business? That's great. But the best thing that we can do is be godly men. And let's be honest. Who do you want to follow? Who do you want to follow? You want to follow somebody who's a godly man. That's what you really want. You want to know that your pastors walk with God. They spend time with God. They seek after God. They look for wisdom from God. That's what you want. It's no different for them. They wanted to know that Joshua was a godly man. You see, leadership is an interesting thing as we talk about this. Leadership is something that you gain. You get it through influence. You get influence through trust. You get trust through integrity. That's what happens, and you have to have all of those in place. And according to Maxwell, there are five levels of leadership. First one is position. and, you know, his position. And Joshua could have said, I'm in charge. That's all there is to it. You're going to follow me or you're dead. He could have said that. And there would have been those who would have followed after Joshua because you're it. You're in charge. I'm just going to follow after you. And I have to because you're the boss and I'm the subservient or whatever it might be. I'm going to follow you. First one is position. The second one is relationship. The second one is relationship. And Joshua had to develop. You can tell that Joshua's been here for a while, so he's developed relationships. And people follow because of a relationship. You invest in them. They invest in you, all of those things. Number three, momentum. You get the right people on the right seats in the bus, you begin to see it move forward, and you gain momentum, and people want to see something happening. They want to be a part of it. They want the sense of momentum of things that are going on and things that are doing that, and so you have this momentum that's there. And certainly going into the promised land, having God meet this great promise that he had done, that's a fulfillment of momentum. They could feel it happening. For 40 years, you imagine sitting there for 40 years wondering, when's this going to happen? And we know it's going to be for people are going to die off. I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be something that's moving. I want to be something that something's happening. I want to see it happening. It's called momentum. Number four is mentoring. When you begin to mentor, you begin to teach. You want the best for the other person that you're leading in that sense. And then number five, and this is, I think, where Joshua had gotten to because of his years of being there, and that's respect. He had respect. And it only comes with integrity, exampled or given over time. That's the kind of leadership Joshua offered. That's why they followed him. That's why they said, wherever you want to go, we'll go. Wherever you tell us to do, we'll do. Whatever you tell us to do, we'll do. You know, even if somebody else doesn't follow you, we'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. We're going to follow after you because Joshua had demonstrated that he was a godly man, a man of integrity who had built trust, who could lead them into the promised land. What is God calling you to do? Does it seem impossible, overwhelming, just too hard? I suggest to you, if it's too easy, it may not be from God. God challenges us to do big things. God wants us to do the impossible because then what? It brings glory to him. But we need to remember this, that God's promises are there. We need to remember that God's presence is there. And if we faithfully follow him, he will prosper us, he'll prosper our way, and we'll be successful all the days of our lives. God is calling you to be a person, to be strong and courageous, to be a man or woman of action, to do what the Lord has called you. You say, well, I doubt I'll ever take a promised land. No, you probably won't. I doubt I'll ever lead 1.5 million people. No, you probably won't. I doubt you'll ever do that, and I doubt I'll ever do that. But I'll tell you this, God wants us to be strong and courageous in our marriage. He wants us to be strong and courageous in our marriage, to do the right things, to stand up, to invest, to do those things, to be that person that's there. God wants us to be strong and courageous with our children. That can be a challenge. Especially when they're grown children and they're all walking with the Lord, to be strong and courageous, to be committed to following after the Lord. What about our place of work? Do you play hidden Christian, or are you the Christian that people know? Are you strong? Are you courageous? Are you undercover, or are you people know, hey, that's a man of God in that way? What about in your church? What is God calling you to do in this church? I encourage you in the days ahead to be people that are strong, people that are courageous, people that are vigorous, people that are following after the Lord, people that are putting God first, who are calling upon God's plan, who are calling upon God's promise, who are looking for God's presence in all that we do as we seek to glorify him. Are you strong? Are you courageous? It comes from a constant relationship that's growing with God.